We're holding on Samach Beis on the Beis, beginning the seventh Perek of the Masechta, Perek Merubah. At this point, we've gone through all of the obvious Nizikin that are not people. According, we had at the beginning of the Masechta, Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, as far as Maveh, whether it means damage by Shein Veregel, whether it means damage by Shein, or whether it means damage by a person. We had Rav saying that it means that we have Shmuel saying that it means a person, that it means Shein Veregel. So according to Shmuel, at this point, we've covered all four of us Nezikin. According to Rav, now we're going to start talking about Maveh primarily, which is the Nezakin caused by people. So last four Prokim of the Masechta are going to deal with Nezakin caused by people. Now, we also had Rav Oshia. We had a Braisa there in the first Perek of Rav Oshia that added to the four obvious Nezikin of the Mishnah. You have also the four Shomrim, and you have the four Shomrim, and you have the five kinds of things that you pay when someone is injured, Nezik Tzal, Rikui, Shevis, and Boshes. And then we had a Braisa of Rav Chia that mentioned also, besides those, you have Tashlomi Kefal, Tashlomi Abav Chamisha, Ganev, Gazlan, and a whole bunch of others. So now, this perek, we're going to focus on the Ganav and Tashlumei Kefal and Tashlumei Abav Chamisha. The next perek is going to be about injuries and about the five things that come in connection with injuries. And then the last two perekim are going to be about Dinim of a Gazlan. So one point is, the Rishonim make a point. That's why now that we finished with the other Ovis Nezikin, now we start dealing with the Ovis Nezikin that Rav Chia had mentioned, in particular Ganev and Gazlan. The reason why Achoyvel is stuck in the middle, why don't we do first Achoyvel, then Ganev, then Gazlan, or some other order like that. Rabbeinu Yohanesen gives a, Gorton Shittim Kubetis gives a very interesting explanation that he says once a person has been robbed, once a person has been stolen from, a lot of times he becomes more paranoid, and therefore now he's more likely to suspect other people and even to get into fights with them where there are going to be injuries. And that's why you have first here the perek about a ganav, and about Geneva, and after that you have perek achoyvel about injuries. And then after that, after we've dealt with that, then we go on to talk about gzela. So this perek anyway is going to be focusing, most of the perek focuses on the dinim of a ganav, where we know the Torah says a ganav has to pay back double, and if it was an ox or a sheep and he shechts it or sells it, then he has to pay four times as much for an ox, five for a sheep. We'll learn later on in the perek in a couple of weeks, Bez Hashem, why that difference? Why is there a greater penalty for an ox? That's going to be the focus of most of the perek over here. As far as the idea behind Kefal, the Rambam says the logical idea is, so Reuven stole $100 from Shimon, let's say, so meaning that he wanted to deprive Shimon of $100. Instead, he pays Shimon $200, meaning that now he himself is deprived of $100, which is what he was trying to do to the other guy. So the Mishnah starts off. Meruba midas tashlume Kefal, midas tashlume abav chamisha. The number of cases where you have Tashlumei Kefal is more than the ones of Tashlumei Abav Chamisha. Shemidas Tashlumei Kefal Nehegas Bein B'Davar Sheyesh Beruach Chayim or Bein B'Davar Shein Beruach Chayim. Tashlumei Kefal applies no matter what it was that was stolen, whether it's a living object or not. As we're going to work out in the Gemara, Omidas Tashlumei Abav Chamisha Ein Nehegas Ela B'Shur V'Seb Bilvah. As opposed to Tashlumei Abav Chamisha is only going to apply strictly to an ox or a sheep, as it says in the pasuk. And we're not going to generalize from that. Now earlier in the Masechta, for example, we learned that you have, for example, when the Torah says Shur or Hamur, in many cases, many times we generalize from it by Gzeira Shavas or other such things, as we learned at the end of the fourth parak, to include other animals. Here, no, it applies strictly to a Shur and a Seh. A person steals an ox or a sheep or he shechts it or sells it. So then he has to pay five times as much for the ox or four times for the sheep. So we see that the Torah is clearly saying that it applies only to these. The Gemara is going to explain later on in the parak, because since the pasuk repeats the words shur and seh at the end of the pasuk, that shows that it's meant to be limited only to those. An interesting question is as far as the an interesting question is as far as a goat included. Now in Torah terminology, a seh does mean strictly a sheep. On the other hand, you have the word tsoin many times in Pesukim that means generically sheep and goats. So does that mean that goats are not included? In fact, the Maharshal says just that, that yeah, it means strictly sheep, not goats. Continues the Mishnah. Ein ha-gonev achra ganev mishan teshlumei kefil. Now here's a case where somebody steals and he's not paying teshlumei kefil, where he steals from a ganev. Meaning, so Reuven had an object, Shimon stole it from him, then Levi stole it from Shimon. So he doesn't pay teshlumei, so Levi is not paying teshlumei kefil, neither to the ganev nor to the original owner. And the reason is it actually brings from later on in the Gemara, because the Gemara is going to explain, because the pasuk says begunav mi beis ha'ish, the item was stolen from the man's house, and that word mi beis ha'ish comes to exclude v'lo mi beis ha'ganav. So he didn't pay kefil. So in that case, Levi doesn't pay kefil. V'lo ha'tiveach v'lo ha'mercher. Similarly, if the ganav had stolen the object, and then somebody else went and then this Levi went and stole from Shimon and shechted or sold the animal, he wouldn't pay tashlumei abav v'chamisha, because once he's not paying tashlumei kefil, he can't be paying tashlumei abav v'chamisha, because tashlumei abav v'chamisha is on top of the kefil. So you have the animal was worth $100, so now teshlumei abav chamisha would be he'd be paying $400 or $500. But that itself implies first the $200 for kefil. If there's no kefil, there can't be abav chamisha, as we're going to have a number of examples in our perek, because then it wouldn't come out abav chamisha. Then it would be shloisha v'abav, then it would be three or four times, and the Torah never says any such thing. So the general rule is where there's no kefil, there's no abav chamisha. We're going to have various examples of it throughout the perek. So the Gemara starts off. And we're saying that the difference between Tashlumei Kefil and Tashlumei Abav Hamisha, we're saying is that Tashlumei Kefil applies to anything, and Tashlumei Abav Hamisha applies only to oxen or sheep. Now, the Ilu, now, though, the Mishnah has not pointed out something, which is Midas Tashlumei Kefil, Nehegas Ben Beganav, Ben Betonet Tainas Ganav, or Midas Tashlumei Abav Hamisha, and Nehegas Ela Beganav Bilvad, Loi Katon. Now, the Mishnah has not mentioned another distinction, which is, you have like this, there's two cases where a person would have to pay kefil. One is a plain case of a ganav. Reuven owns an object, and Shimon goes and steals it from him. The other one is called toyen tainas ganav, which means when you have a shomer, one of the four shomerim, who claim, well, let's talk specifically about a shomer chinam. Because a shomer chinam, if the object is stolen that he was watching, he is potter. So if a shomer chinam claims that the object was stolen, and then it turns out he himself was the one who stole it, he kept it for himself, then he's chayev in kefil. So what happened was he claimed it was stolen. The other guy, the owner of the Pekodin, brings him to Beis Din. He swears falsely that it was stolen. Then we end up having Edim that he himself took it. So then he's paying, the Pesukim are saying that he himself pays Tashlumei Kefil. So that's called Toyin Tainas Ganav. So now the Mishnah is not mentioning that distinction there's any distinction as far as kefil and abav chamisha between ganav and toyin tainas ganav. The Mishnah has not said that there's another difference between them, which is that in the case of a shomer, you have that in the case of a shomer, you may have tashlumei kefil, but you don't have tashlumei abav chamisha. In which case, Misailei l'Rabchiva Abba. In that case, that supports what Rabchiva Abba says. The Amr Rabchiva Abba Amr Rabbeinu, Hatoyed Tainus Ganav Pikadin. That yes, if a person claims as far as a Pikadin that it was stolen, and it turns out that it was false, Mishalom Tashlumei Kefil. Then he's going to pay Tashlumei Kefil, Tovachol Mocher, and if he shechts it or sells it, Mishalom Tashlumei Abba L'Chamisha. Then he is going to be paying the 4 or 5 payment. Meaning, so therefore, the Mishnah didn't mention that distinction because, in fact, in all cases where Tvachay Mechare, he's going to pay the 4 or 5. So the Mishnah seems to support what Rechiva Abba is saying. But the Gemara says that's not necessarily a proof. Well, first the Gemara says Ichadami. Another version is that the discussion went, not in the first version, we said Messiah lay, it supports him. Like the Gemara had said, as a definitive point that this supports him. According to the second version, Lema Messiah lay l'Rabchiva Abba. Should we say that our Mishnah is supporting Rabchiva Abba's position? The Amr Rabchiva Abba, Amr Rabbi Yechon, Atayin Tainas Ganav Karn, Mishalim Tashlama Kefil, Tavach Amach, Mishalim Tashlama Abba Abachamisha. So not necessarily are we assuming that the Mishnah supports him, but at least there is a good reason to think that it does. So is that in fact the case? The Gemara says not necessarily, because mi katani ein bein. The Mishnah didn't say ein bein. There's no difference between the ganav himself and the one who's toin tainus ganav. Between the ganav and the toin tainus, it doesn't say there's no difference between kefil and abav chamisha, except for that one applies to only certain things and one applies to all. If it had said ein bein, then it would be more mashma that it means that we're excluding any other differences. And Tosfos discusses over here sometimes even when we find ein bein, it means only within the particular narrow area of differences in halacha between one and the other. We're not necessarily talking about all of them, but still, here it doesn't even say ein bein, meruba katani. All it means is, all the Mishnah is saying, there's a greater number of cases where kefil applies and abav chamisha applies. So you could equally well say, Tana b'shayir, you could equally well say then that the Tana is just leaving out certain things. The Tana has not mentioned every possible case where there's a difference between kefil and abav chamisha. Maybe the Mishnah means to imply that in fact you have also the distinction between Rechiva Abba's cases, that in fact, in other words, Torah and Tainus Ganav would not pay abav chamisha. You can't prove really one way from the other. Now, usually the Gemara will ask in that case, my shire to high shire. What else then did the Tana leave out? Because the Tana doesn't usually leave out only one thing. So Tosfos says, first of all, there is a case involving later on, the Gemara is going to talk about, where a person found something and later on claims it was stolen from him, and you have the same dinim over there. The Mishnah has not mentioned that point as well. And also you have a case of two partners where one of them stole from the other and so forth. So that's one explanation. Tosfos's other explanation is, listen, again, if the Mishnah is only saying meruba, that there's a greater number of cases where kefil applies than abav chamisha, then it's not like we have to assume that the Mishnah to begin with meant to list everything. Therefore, it's perfectly fine if the Mishnah leaves out only one case. So the point is, in other words, that either way, according to either Lashon, we don't have a proof from the Mishnah one way or the other for the Rechiva Abba's din. So now, we said in the Mishnah, Shemidas Tashlume Kefil Nehegas Chola, we said the difference is that Kefil applies to everything and Abav Chamisha applies only to, to oxen and sheep. So Menahani Mil, first let's deal with, how do we know that Tashlumei Kefil applies to everything? The Tanan Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa. The Pasuk says as follows. The context of the Pasuk is actually about Toin Tainus Ganav, but we'll get back later into regular case of Ganav. The Pasuk describes, in the case of a Shomer, again, a Shomer Chinam, who claims that the item that he was watching is stolen, the expression in the Pasuk is, Al Kol Dvar Pesha, for anything that he might have acted wrongly with, al shur al chamur al sal salma, whether it's an ox or a donkey or a sheep or a garment, Al-Kolaveda, or for anything else that was lost, and then the pasuk continues, I show you Maki who's there, and so forth, and the pasuk finishes off about talking about Tashlomei Kefil. So the Braisa says, when it says, Al-Koldvar Pesha, when it says anything for which he was careless, that's Klal. That would be a generality that it means anything that was stolen. Now again, the Pasuk is talking in the context of the Pasuk, is talking about Tone Tainas Ganav. The Pnei Yeshua points out, the fact is, the previous Pasuk mentions, Im Yimotze HaGanav Yishalam Shnayim, or two Pasukim earlier, mentions, Im Yimotze HaGanav, if the Ganav is found, that there was an actual Ganav who stole the object, Yishalam Shnayim. So now, when the Pasuk is listing the details of Tashlomei Kefil, then we understand that it's referring to the Ganav as well. So the pasuk, so you have al kol drav pesha as a klal, then you have al shura chamur al she al se al salma prat, then you have a prat that mentions four specific things. And at that point, if we stop there, then it would mean that Tashlomei Kefil would apply only to those four things. But then it continues al kol aveda for anything else that was lost. That is klal, the chaz of a kolo. That's another klal again. Therefore klal the prat of klal. Iatadon elakein a prat. So what do? We say that we can only include things that are similar to the prat. Therefore, ma prat lefurish dover amitalto v'gufay mamon. So therefore, the prat, all those four things listed, are movable objects and things that are intrinsically worth money. As called dover amitalto v'gufay mamon. Therefore, we know that the din now includes anything else that is metalto and that it itself has a monetary value. So therefore it includes all kinds of things, but yotu karkos, so it excludes lands, she'ena metalpilin, or she'ena metalpilin, which is not movable. So if a person were to, for example, be masig vul, move the boundary marker between his field and the other guys, then he wouldn't be paying kefil for that. The yotzu avodim shehukshul karkos, it also excludes slaves, avodim knanim, because we find a hekish between them and real estate in the Torah. The pasuk mentions the concept v'snachaltem osam, you should bequeath your avodim to your children, loreshes achuza, as the pasuk says, to inherit them as an estate. So we learn from that avodim are similar to karka, and therefore, this concept of tashlomei kefil does not apply to avodim either, if one person stole the other one's eved. And yotzu shtaris, and also we also exclude shtaris. Sha'afpish and metaltlin, they are movable. Ain't gufan mamon. They themselves are not money. They're only a proof about money. So if one person steals the other one's shtaris, he's not paying tashlomei kefil. And one more, yotzu hektish. Another one is we exclude hektish. That when hektish is involved, there's no tashlomei kefil. There's no tashlomei kefil because rei ehu ksiv, because the pasuk mentions in this connection rei ehu, his friend, his fellow yid, and hektish is not included in that. Okay. However, so thus far the braisa. However, the gemara says e ma prat meforish. Well, let's consider. What are you telling me? The prat is dover amitalto v'gufay mamon, but there's another thing you could find that the prat has in common. Ma prat meforish dover shenuv losi matame b'mago v'masa. The three kinds of animals that it mentioned in the Mishnah, shur, chamur, and seh, all of them have this in common, that if they die, then and in the case of a shur and seh without shrita, then their dead bodies are matame, whether a person touches or carries them. So we could argue, af kol davishin have lost in the time of mago masa. Maybe tashlomei kefil then only applies to things that have that in common, that they're matame, a person who touches and carries them. Aval oifos loy, in which case that would not apply to birds, as we're going to learn soon in the Gemara. There's only one case of tumah involving birds, and it doesn't have to do with touching or carrying them. So maybe not. So the Gemara says back, what do you mean? How could you say that? The fact is, the pasuk mentions a garment, and a garment is clearly not in that category, matami mago masa. So obviously the prat of klal is meant to include everything else as well. So Amri said, so the answer, okay, maybe what we mean is anan b'balik chayim. Fine, we're talking about within the animals. Ema, maybe we should say, within animal, bibale chayim, within the category of animals, we should only include davashin evlosim, time of magav masa ain, then you'd be chayim for tashlum and kefal, davashin evlosim, time of magav masa loy, and maybe if it's not the time of magav masa, maybe you should be potter on, kefal. And the reason we would think to do that, is when we have over here four things that are listed over here as the prat, what we're actually doing is we're not treating it as one big klal of prat. What we're actually doing is we're darshining each one by itself and darshining things that are similar to it. Rashi refers to that we're going to learn on Samach Dal and Amud Beis. We're going to talk about that we take each one of these pratim individually and darshan a klal of prat to klal with it, and then we learn out details from that. So we say as if the Torah had said the klal, and then just sure, and then the prat, and the Torah had said the klal, and just chamur, and then the prat. And so forth, and the Gemara is going to discuss this on Samach Dalet Amud Beis, and we're going to say that we have an example over there, and this is with a different klal of prat to klal, but still, the point is, in other words, that we see when you have extra pratim, Rashi explains that it means each one is meant to include something similar to it. So we should assume that each one of the ones mentioned over here, Shur, Hamur, Se, and Salma, is meant to be darshan by itself, to make a klal of prat, a klal of itself, and therefore, so the result would be avo oifus loy. So therefore, that would exclude birds. What we would say, in other words, is we have a klal including shur, a klal of prat, a klal involving shur, that means not birds, a klal of prat, a klal involving chamur, also not birds. As far as seh, also not birds. As far as salma, fine, we would say that includes other inanimate objects which are like it, but still, we don't have birds included. So where do we get that? If a person steals a bird from somebody else, he's chayef tashlumei kefal. Tosfos points out, by the way, there are other places where we have pratim mentioned in a klal of prat klal, and we don't do this kind of thing. We don't assume that we should break them up and darshan them separately. The Gemara is going to bring soon one as far as Maisa Sheni, which we've discussed earlier in the Masechta. We have another one from Kiddushin, where the Torah mentions certain things when it comes to giving Hanukkah, the final gift that you give to an Eved Ivri before he goes free. So Tosfos discusses why it is that over here, in this case over here, since the Gemara is going to end up saying that really we can learn all of them from Simla, the Torah could have just said Simla, we would have included everything else from it, because there's no reason to think then that the Shulman Kefal should apply only to inanimate things and not to animate ones. So here, the Gemara is assuming that since it says not only Salma, but also the various other ones, Shur, Hamur, Seh, then maybe each one is meant to be Daushin as an individual klal or protocol. So that's the question. And how do we know that we include birds? Well, the answer is, Imkei Nichtav Rahman Achad Prata. Well, that's exactly it. In that case, the Torah could have written only one of these three animals as the prat. Since it listed all three of them, then we understand that it means that we are including everything else as well. The Gemara says, "Hey Nichtav, what do you mean? How could the Torah have written only one of the three animals, and you would be able to learn everything else from it?" This is similar to a discussion that we had at the end of the fourth parak, as far as how we know that all other animals are included in the dinim of Bor and a number of other dinim. So how could we do it? If the Torah had written only shur, then you would think a shur is an animal that can be brought on the mizbeach, so it would exclude even many kosher animals, wild kosher animals that cannot be brought as korbanos. So it can't just say shur. If it listed only chamur, then you would think that it means only animals that have the kedusha of bechora, which applies to cows, sheep, and goats, and among the behemoths tmeias, it applies only to donkeys. So the Torah couldn't have only written donkey, because then we would have assumed that it meant only the ones that are kaddish for b'chora. So therefore, it has to say shur and chamur. Now, if shur also is kaddish for b'chora, but once you have one of them, once you have chamur, and you know that it means kaddish for b'chora, then you would say that shur is meant as ein inyan lazeh tneu in lazeh. Then it means that it includes other things as well. And selomali. So now, why at this point does it need to say se? Once we have shur and chamur, then we're including everything that is kodesh v'b'chorah. And it also implicitly includes then, not only that, it includes everything which has a nevela that is matame b'mago v'masa. So therefore, it'll include all domestic and wild animals. So se lomali. Now, why does it need to say se as well? What are we adding with that? Shmamina lasriya ofis. Therefore, it means that now the Torah is coming to say also that it includes birds. Meaning, in other words, again, not that directly from a ser we can learn a bird. There are two different types of creatures, but once it said shur and chamur, and clearly we don't need at that, and clearly now we've included all kinds of four-footed animals. So now when we have ser as well, which doesn't add anything to that, then it means it's in lazer, since we don't need it to include four-footed animals anymore, then we use it to include birds, even though birds are not matamib magov masa. But the Gemara says still, the emel asuya ufis tahorim, still maybe you could say that it includes only kosher birds, where the difference is with kosher birds, dumya to seh, they are at least similar to a seh in the sense to metame bugadim abes abriya. There is a tumah involving birds, namely that they're metame when a person swallows them, as we've learned earlier. You have the Torah specifically says as far as kosher birds, that if there's a nevela of a dead kosher bird and somebody swallows it, as he's swallowing it, as it passes into his throat, he becomes tamei. And that applies specifically only to kosher birds. But when it comes to non-kosher birds, where this kind of tumah doesn't apply, so they're not metame a person and his clothing when he swallows them. Because it actually explains from a Gemara in Chulin that learns from a pasuk. The pasuk says the nevela utreifa lo yoichal, and then so we learn from that that only when the isser is strictly because of nevela utreifa, not when the isser is because of something else, as is the case with a non-kosher bird. So then maybe you should say that. So then maybe you're not including that. Maybe even you have shur, chamur, and seh. Fine. So between shur and chamur, you've included everything where nevela is matamav mago masa. So you'd say that seh includes a case where it's not matamav mago masa, but it's matame in a different way. Still, that leaves out non-kosher birds, which have no kind of tumah involved with them at all. And the answer is kol ribuyahu. The answer is fine, but we have the word kol in the pasuk, al kol dvar pesha, and therefore that's a ribuy. And with that ribuy, we can also include. So we're not even really doing a klal prat. The Gemara is now switching gears and saying we're not even really going to do a klal prat to klal anymore. Now we're going to do a ribuy miut ribuy, which means that we're going to include a lot more things. We're going to include everything else that is anything else that's even slightly similar to the four things listed in the pasuk. So therefore we're going to say that yes, it includes non-kosher birds as well. So the Gemara asks, "B'chol heicha because of kol riboyahu?" So you're telling me that any time the Torah says kol, it's meant to switch, that instead of doing a klal prat to klal, you're going to do a ribui miut ribui. How can that be? V'agavi meiser d'chtiv kol. What about by meiser sheni, when it talks about using the money of meiser sheni to spend on food? The pasuk mentions the word kol there, v'kodashin and le'b'klal prat. And yet we continue to douse in it with a klal prat. The Tanya, as we learn in a Braisa, the Pasuk says about spending Maaser Sheni money and then using it to buy food that you eat in Yerushalayim. So the Pasuk goes, you should use the money for anything that your soul desires, cattle, sheep, wine, or beer, or anything else that your soul desires, and then you eat it in your shalayim. So you have, so the Braisa says, when asata kesef b'chol asher ta'av nafshach, a klal, when it says anything that you desire, that would be a klal. When it mentions specifically cattle, sheep, wine, and beer, that's a prat. When it says anything that your soul desires is again a klal. So klal a prat a klal iat don elkein a prat. Ma prat meforish. So what can we specify about the prat? Pre mikri, you have one fruit growing from another fruit. You had, in the case of the animals, you have an animal gives birth to young. In the case of wine and beer, they come out of the pail. You take the grape or you take the whatever it is that you make the beer out of, and you distill it and you squeeze it and you distill it to make the wine or the beer. The gedulei karka, and there's things that grow directly or indirectly from the ground. The wine and beer come from things that grow directly from the ground. The bakar and sain eat grass which comes from the ground. So af kol pri mikri the gedulei karka. The same way, anything you're going to buy with ma'aser sheni money has to be something that has these characteristics pri mikri the gedulei karka. The point being, therefore, it excludes water. And it excludes salt, and it excludes mushrooms, because all of those things are either not pre-mi-pre or they're not gedulei karka. And so we see, even though the Torah uses the word kol, even though the Torah says v'chol asher tesholcha nafshecha, we still treat it as a klal, a prat, a klal. So why in our case are you telling me because it says al kol drar pesha should we include everything else as well, including non-kosher birds? So Amri, the answer back, v'chol klala kol ribuyahu. The answer is where it says bichol. It means to be still part of a klal. When it says the word kol by itself, then it means that it's meant to be a rib. Now Tosfos points out, and that what we really did again is we took the klal of prat to klal, and we said that really we're making it into a ribui mir ribui. So Tosfos says it's not really the Braisa didn't really mean to Daushin. The Braisa didn't really mean to Daushin as a cloud of prat to cloud to begin with. It's just this is a common drasha that we find in various other places in Shas and in connection with various other halachas. We find this drasha of Dovra Matal to Begufay Mamen. So therefore, the Braisa used it over here also. Even though, as the Gemara is concluding over here, really we're actually learning from Kol that it's not a cloud of prat to cloud at all. But again, that's only when it says Kol, not when it says Bichol. Or another answer, you could say kol klolahu. In fact, the word kol, or even the word bichol, kol would be a klal. So you could really say that even when it says kol, usually we douch it as a klal of pratiklal. Mihu, kol the hochari boyahu. But the difference is that al kol drav pesha over here necessarily is a special case and meant to be a ribu. Because after all, you have to begin with in the Udiyur Pasuk, when it first starts describing the case of the Shema Chinam, you also have a klal of prat to klal over there. Because the Pasuk says, ki yitin isha re'ehu, the Pasuk is ki yitin isha re'ehu, a person gives to his fellow yid, kesef or kalim, silver or kalim, lishmer to guard, and then with gunam divination, it gets stolen from him. So you already have a klal of prat to klal there as well. Ki yitin isha re'ehu klal. The kiyitzit isha re'ehu is a generality, if he gives him anything to watch. When it says kesef ekelim prat, lishmer chazer v'kolal, when it says lishmer to guard, meaning anything else that he might give him to guard. So we already have a klal of prat to klal in this connection. The sakadaita, hi, al kol drav pesha, nami, klal of prat to da'asa. If you're going to tell me that the pasuk al kol drav pesha is also meant just to give us a klal of prat to klal, then, nichtiv rachmona, lahani proti, gabeheach klal of prat. Then the Torah could have equally well written all of these pratim that it mentions in the later pasuk, the shur, the hamur, etc. It could have written them all in the earlier pasuk. The Torah could have said, ki yitin isha re'ehu, kesef oy kelim, oy shur, oy hamur, oy she, oy se, oy salma. Or for that matter, maybe it didn't even need to mention kesef oy kelim. It could have just mentioned shur, hamur, etc. over there. And there you don't have the word kol. So there we would have doushin it as a, there we would doushin it as a plain klal of prat to klal. So I'll call drav pesha lamali. Why instead does the Torah add a whole new klal of prat to klal and include in it the word klal? Therefore, so shmamina ribuyahu. Therefore, that means it's a ribuy, and now therefore we're marba other things as well that wouldn't have been included in a klal, a prat, a klal. Therefore, we can include now the non-kosher birds and other similar kinds of things like that that wouldn't have otherwise been included in the klal, a prat, a klal. Tosfos deals with the question then why Taka didn't the Torah mention only Kesef, and we would have learned everything else from it. In any case, the point is that now we actually use the Kesef Kalim for a different Jerusha that we learn in Masechta Shavuos, having to do with a case of Taino Kfira, where one person says to the other, "You owe me a certain amount of money or a certain amount of Kalim," and the other guy denies all or part of it. Another guy denies part of it and is now a Moedim Mitzvah. When do we make him take a Shavua? And when not, we learn from those words, Kesef and Kalim. We learn Dinim about that, which eventually we'll learn in Masechta Shavuos, Bez Hashem. So the point is that now, so we have two possibilities. Again, one is because it says, I'll call Dvar Pesha, and the call is a Ribui. The other possibility is, it's not so much that the call is a Ribui, it's more that since you have a whole other kavachomer over here that you didn't even need to begin with, a whole nother klal of prat klal rather that you didn't need to begin with, then therefore we can say that it's meant to include other things, that it's meant to actually not be a klal of prat klal, it's meant to be a ribui miot ribui, and therefore we can include all kinds of other things as well. So the Gemara says, "Hash the da'amik kol ribuya, kol hani prati lamali." Well, if you're saying the word "kol" is a ribuy, then what do we need those four details? Shur, hamar, san, salma. What are they coming to exclude? So the answer is like this: Chad lam uti karka. One comes to exclude karka, which is again, like we said, if one person steals the other one's karka, he's not paying tashlumei kefa for that. V'chad lam uti avodim. Another one is to exclude avodim. But that also, if a person steals the other one's evidence, he's not paying the Shlomo Kefal. Tosfos points out, now before we said we didn't need a separate limud for Avadim. We said once we're Mamayat Karka, then automatically we're Mamayat Avadim, because Avadim are compared to Karka. However, Tosfos says, now that we have the word kol, now we're going to need an individual miut for each one of them, and therefore we have no choice but to actually say that we need a separate miut for avodim. And the fact is, the Rashba adds, after all, the difference is, the fact is, avodim are metaltal. You would have figured, look, avodim are metaltal and they are gufan mammon. They do have an intrinsic monetary value. So you would have said, this is an exception, and the hekish of karka to avodim doesn't apply to this, and therefore the Torah needs to specifically mention one of the pratim to tell us not them. V'chadlam u'ti shtaris, the third miut. Again, because we have four pratim over here. The third one comes to exclude shtaris, where we, as we said, if one person steals the other one's shtaris, he's not paying tashlumei kefal for the reason that the shtar is not gufoi mammon. It itself doesn't have an intrinsic value. Its value is in the writing on it. And the fourth one, salma, when it mentions in the pasuk the garment, that would be lamauti davar she'eino mesuyam. That would come to exclude something which is not mesuyam. Now, what does that mean? Rashi explains, a salma, by definition, has simonim. In fact, in Bava Metzia, in Perek Ela Metzias, which we'll get to in a few months, Bez Hashem, we're going to learn that from the word salma, we learn the concept that an aveda, that when you find a lost object, it has to have simonim in order for you to be required to return it. Because a salma, every person weaves clothing a little bit differently, and therefore it has a simon. So now Rashi explains over here in the similar vein, what the Pasuk is telling us is only if the object has a simen, only then does the concept of Tashlumei Kefal apply to it. But if it doesn't have a simen, then he'd be potter. Tosfos and various other Rishonim don't like that explanation of Rashi. Because what's the difference? Mela by an Aveda, there would be a difference of whether there's a simen or not. But why should there be a difference over here? As far as Tashlumei Kefal? So Tosfos explains that no, what it means over here, Davar She'eino Mesuyam, means that there has to be a definitive amount. Meaning, Tosfos refers to, for example, you have a case in Masechta Shavuos. Suppose, for example, one person says, Reuven says to Shimon, I gave you over to watch a house full of stuff. The house was full of some object. And Shimon says that, Shimon says that no, it wasn't a full house. So neither one of them is saying the definitive amount, how much you can fit into the house. There's going to be a lot of different variables that it depends on. So therefore, you don't have anything definitive to say that there was X amount, there was X dollar value of stuff in the house. As opposed to, for example, you have, let's say, if Reuven were to say, I gave you an amount of stuff where the house was in, the building was filled up with this, up till the window, and the other guy said, no, it wasn't up till the window, it was up till the ledge below the window, then it would be a case of Moed Mitzvah, and you have to pay because the amount that's up to the window or up to the ledge is measurable. So therefore, Tosfos says that's what it means over here. Dabar She'ein Misuyam means, in other words, that. So again, in the case of Toyin Tainas Ganev, let's say, if Reuven says to Shimon, I gave you this house to watch and it was full, and Shimon is saying, no, I don't know how full it was. Here's the house back. Here, come open up the building and then take whatever it is that you put in there. Then we wouldn't say that. So now, if instead Shimon says, actually, everything in there was stolen, he wouldn't be paying Tashlomei Kefil because it's not a Dover HaMasuyim. It's not an item where there's a known amount of it. That's Tosfos. Then Amban gives yet another example. Dover She'ein Masuyam would be, for example, a half a kelim. So you have, in Masechta Shavuos, we just mentioned that in the connection with Kesef or Kelim, the Gemara brings in Masechta Shavuos a discussion about the point that if one person is claiming and the other one is denying the claim and it involves less than a certain number of silver coins or less than a certain number of kalim, then he's not required to swear. So here, when you're talking about, let's say, for example, he's telling him, I gave you to watch half a kalim, and that half a kalim is not the minimum of two kalim that it says over there, and it's also not worth the shtei kesef, the two silver coins that it mentions over there, then we would say the whole concept of tashlomei kefil doesn't apply. That would be another meaning of dover misuyam, that it would mean something it's not an actual full object, because it's only really, it's only half an object, really. So various explanations of what Dover She'ein Misuyam is. The point is, though, that the point is that we're saying that that the word Salma comes to exclude, so the word Salma comes to exclude all of those. Okay. Now, when the pasuk continues, Al Kol Aveda, the pasuk says for anything that was lost. So L'chidir Rav Chiya Ba'Abba, that comes to teach us a din that Rav Chiya Ba'Abba says. What happens as far as a lost object? So Reuven lost something. Shimon found it, and he's holding on to it until Reuven shows up to collect it. Now, when Reuven comes to collect it, then Shimon tells him in between it was stolen. Meanwhile, eventually, Edom come and say that actually it's still in his possession. Meshalom Tashlomei Kefil, he's going to be paying Tashlomei Kefil in that case as well. And Tashlomei Abav Hamisha, if it was an animal and he shepherded and sold it. Shenema, I'll call Aveda, Ashayyoma, because the Pasuk says, for any Aveda that he would say, meaning, in other words, that in the symbol meaning of the Pasuk would be, I'll call Aveda means whenever the Shomer is claiming that the thing was lost. But now we're also understanding, Rav Chiya Ba'Abba is also understanding it to mean that it means any time, any situation involving an Aveda where he would claim that it was stolen from him, then that's Toyin Tainas Ganav, and then he would be paying kefil. So not only in the case of a regular Ganav is he paying kefil, and not only in the case of a regular Shomer is he paying kefil, but even in the case where he's a Shomer Aveda, where to begin with the item was lost and he picked it up, then we also say that if he's Toyin Tainas Ganav on it, then he's also paying kefil. That we learn from the words Al Kol Aveda. Okay. So we've covered everything in the pasuk, why it says all the details that it does in the pasuk, and we've covered now that we've established now that Tashlomei Kefil does apply to all kinds of objects. Okay. Now let's talk more about this Toyin Tainas Ganav business. Tnanhos, and we learn in a Mishnah, later in our Masechta. Reuven says to Shimon, Heichan Pikdoni, where is my Pikodin? I gave you such and such to watch, where is it? Omalei Ovad, and Shimon says it was lost. And lost, by the way, doesn't mean lost as in I don't remember where I put it. The Gemara in Bava Metzia in Hamafkid tells us that actually that would be considered pshia, to not know where you put a pikadon is carelessness. What we mean really is that he ovad, in other words, it was lost in the sense that, for example, it was grazing in the meadow, and then in a way that would be normal to send out an animal to graze, and it disappeared, and I don't know what happened to it, or something like that. Anyway, so he says ovad. So Reuven says, I'm going to make him swear in Beis Din, but Oma Omein, and the other guy says Omein, which means that he accepted the Shavua on himself. Meanwhile, there are Edim that he himself, that he himself ate it. Meaning in other words that he had, that he himself had taken it for himself and then had kept it. And even, Tosfos points out the chiddush of Ochloi is that even though, we would still say, we're jumping the gun a little bit. So, he's paying only Karen. Because he didn't claim that it was stolen, he claimed that it was lost. So therefore, there's no kafel involved. Even though he himself stole it, Tosfos says that's the chiddush. Even though the fact is he completely destroyed it, it's not even as though he kept it and it's still in his possession. He actually shechted or did whatever with it, and now it's completely gone. Nevertheless, we're still making him pay only the keren because there was no tainus ganav. On the other hand, hoydal piatsmai. On the other hand, if he himself had admitted that he stole it, Meshalom Keren v'Chomish v'Asham, then he would be paying the Keren plus a Chomish plus bringing a Korban Asham, because that's the case. When a person swears falsely that about a monetary claim, and later on he admits to it, then he pays the Keren v'Chomish and brings the Asham Zeus. Rashi points out the pasuk doesn't mention in that connection in Parshas Vayikra. It doesn't mention that he admitted it there, but the Torah does mention it when it repeats these halachas in Parshas Nasai. It says v'isvadu as chatas malso asha asu, and we learn from that therefore that the whole concept of chaymish applies only if he was moida, and the asham goes together with the chaymish. Now the Mishnah continues. Heichan pikdoni. If Reuven says, "Where is my pikadon?" Omaloy nignav, and Shimon says it was stolen, where again he's saying, I'm a shemachinam, I would be potter whether it was lost or whether it was stolen. So in the previous case, he said lost. Here he's saying it was stolen. And mashbiachani, the other guy says, I'm gonna make you swear. But oma omen, but edim me'idim oseshagon, right? Meanwhile, afterwards, there are edim that he himself stole it. Now, mashalam tashlome kefil, now he himself is going to be paying tashlome kefil, because he himself stole it, and here there was Toyin Tainaskanev. So he's going to pay Tashlome Kefil. And if he himself admits it, then it's still going to be Meshalom Keren V'Chomish V'Asham. Then you're still going to have the same Keren V'Chomish V'Asham, because that's because he admitted it himself before the Edim came. Tosfos mentions over here. Now here in this part of the Mishnah, it doesn't mention anything about where he ate it. It just says that the Edim are just made that he stole it. The point is, even though it's Be'ein, even though it still exists, then he's still high of Kefil because he was turning Tainus Gan. That's thus far the Mishnah. Now, Katoni Mia, at any rate, the Mishnah had mentioned the Toyin Tainus Ganav, the Meshalom Tashlome Kefil, only when it comes to Toyin Tainus Ganav is he paying Tashlome Kefil, Aval Toyin Tainus Ovad Loi Meshalom Tashlome Kefil, and if he claims that it was lost, then he's not paying Kefil, even if he himself stole it. And furthermore, Vafilo Toyin Tainus Ganav, the Shvur, the Meshalom Tashlome Kefil, Aval Shaloi Beshvur, and Meshalom Tashlome Kefil, and even with Toyin Tainus Ganav, it requires that there was a Shvur involved in order for him to be Chayiv and Kefil, not otherwise. Where do we know all these details from? These particular details, that we only make him pay Kefil only if it was Toyin Tainus Ganav. And that only if he swore falsely, only then is he paying. Only then is he paying kefil. Where do we get all that from? So the Gemara says the Tana Rabbanan. We learn a braisa on that subject. There is, by the way, within that, by the way, there is a machloikus between the Rambam and the Ravid. Does it also require that? Is there any requirement at any time during this thing that the that the Shomer himself had had done shlichus yad in the pikadon. What if the Shomer himself had misused the pikadon, and now he's claiming that it was stolen. So you have a situation over there where if you the Rambam learned that it was shaloyach yad and then claimed Tainus Ganev, then the Rambam says he would be potter at that point from Kefil, because once he was shaloyach boyad, once he actually used the pekodin for his own purposes, then it becomes his own. Now there's no Kefil to talk about. The Raiva disagrees with that, but anyway. So the Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa. The Pasuk says, Im Yimotze HaGanav. The Pasuk describes, in the case of a Shomer Chinam, it says that a person gives something else to somebody else to watch, the Gunav Mibes HaIsh, and it was stolen from the man's house. Im Yimotze HaGanav Yishalem Shnayim. If the Ganav is found, then he pays double. So, Im Yimotze HaGanav, B'Toyin Tainus Ganav HaKosim Medaber. The Pasuk is talking about a case, not a case of an actual ganav, but a case of toyin tainus ganav, where the shomer is claiming that it was stolen. After Omer toyin tainus ganav. Now you're saying, continues the Braisa, that it's talking about toyin tainus ganav or ainad of ganav atzmai. How do you know? Maybe it's talking about the regular ganav himself, and the pasuk is saying the gunav mibeisa ish. Means that, so in other words, the Braisa is explaining that the Pasuk goes as follows. The Shomer gives something to the other person to watch, and the Shomer claims that it was stolen from his house. If we find out that he himself is the Ganev, then Yishalem Shnayim. But maybe not. Maybe it means Vegunav Mibesa Ish, it was truly stolen from the man's house. And if we find the Ganev, then Yishalem Shnayim, then he pays double. So how do we know it doesn't mean that? So the answer is true Omer, because you have later on psukim, the pasuk continues, im lo yimotze aganav v'gomer, if the ganav is not found, and we end up saying, asher yoyma ki huzeh, that the edim are saying that he himself actually took it, then it's talking about Torin Tainus Ganav. So therefore, but Torin Tainus Ganav, across the Medaber, therefore the Psukim are all talking about Torin Tainus Ganav. So now that's the Braisa. The Gemara is going to explain soon. Well, then why does the Pasuk need to repeat it? If Im Yimotze HaGanav Yishalem Shnayim already refers to the Shomer, then why do we need Im Lo Yimotze HaGanav, and then it says Yishalem Shnayim L'Reihu, to also refer to the Shomer? So we'll get back to that in the Gemara. But first we have this one Braisa that says that by Torin Tainus Ganav there's Kefil. Now, Tanya Idoch, on the other hand, we learn another Braisa that says, Im Yimotze HaGanav, if the Ganav is found, the second Braisa says, the Ganav Atzmai Akosim Medaber. The Pasuk is actually talking about an actual Ganav himself, not the Shomer. After Oimer the Ganav Atzmai, so you're saying it refers to the Ganav, or Eina El of a Toyin Tainus Ganav, maybe it refers to Toyin Tainus Ganav. Nope, sure, Oimer, Im Lo Yimotze HaGanav, remember, since the Pasuk continues, if the Ganav is not found, and the guy swears, and then he pays Kefil, and I turn Tainus Ganav Omer. So then, in those later psukim, you have the case of turn Tainus Ganav. Palmani Makayim, Yimotze HaGanav. So what do we do with the earlier Pasuk? Yimotze HaGanav must be the Ganav Atzmai HaKosu Medaber. So therefore, so the Pasuk, the first Pasuk is talking about the Ganav himself. So we have two Braises which disagree. One of them says that both psukim are talking about turn Tainus Ganav, and the other one says, that the first pasuk is talking about the ganav, and the second one is talking about Torin Tainus Ganav. Okay, so thus far the two braises. So first, the kulei alma miyas im lo yimotze aganav b'torin tainus ganav. Everybody agrees that the second pasuk im lo yimotze aganav is referring to Torin Tainus Ganav. So my mashma, where do we see that from the psukim? Omar Rava, because the pasuk is saying im lo, because when the pasuk says im lo yimotze haganav, it doesn't mean if the ganav is not found. Meaning, im lo yimotze kemasha omar, if it's found, if it's not found, like what he's saying, so he's claiming that it was stolen by somebody else. Ella, rather, we find out through Adim, shohu atzme gonvoy, that he himself stole it, then yishalem shnayim, then he pays double. So therefore, we see. That, therefore, we see that, yes, if he himself stole it, then he's paying Kefil, so we see that definitely the second pasuk in Lo Yimotze HaGanav is referring to the Torin Tainus Ganav. later on the Gemara is going to deal with. Well, how do we know that's only when Toyin Tainus Ganav but meanwhile, at least we know that the second pasuk is definitely referring to Toyin Tainus Ganav. The Braises are disagreeing whether the first one also does or whether the first one is talking about an actual Ganav himself. Next, Umenolon de Bishua. Now, how do we know that? How do we know then that that this whole concept of the Shomer paying Kefil would only apply? Would only apply if he swore falsely, as in the scenarios that we had in the Mishnah before. So for that, we need another price. Tanya, the Nikra Balabayas El Elikim, the Pasuk says, the Balabayas, meaning the Shomer, should approach Elikim, meaning Dayan. So, Lishvua, when it says that he approaches, for that he approaches, means for Shvua. Once he's saying that it was stolen, then he has to swear, and then he's going to be Potter, and then once he swears, he's going to be Potter from paying. So the Braisa says, after Oymer L'Shvua, Oyein El L'Din, maybe it doesn't mean for Shvua, maybe it means for the Din, maybe it's that we actually require him to pay, maybe it's that we tell him, you claim that it was, you're claiming that it was, stolen, well then you're going to have to pay up. Maybe in fact the Shem Chinam, who claims Nignava, is going to be chayav to pay. So on the face of it, I mean, what do you mean? Then in that case, then there would be the same thing between a shlom achinam and a shlom asachar. So on the Pesukim, actually, Rashi explained that the Braisa's question is, how do we know? Once he claims Toyin Tainus Ganav, maybe he's chayav to pay right away, even before Shavua. In other words, if Edom were to come at that point, before he even swears, and say that he stole it, maybe he should have to pay kapel. On the face of it, though, the Gemara over here is just saying that maybe as soon as he claims that it was stolen, immediately we should tell him that he's chayav to pay, the Keren. So how do we know that not? So there is a good deal of discussion about this among the Maharshal and the Maharsha and the Maharam. The Maharshal says, I mean, obviously you don't need that. Then how would you ever get to Kefil when it comes to Toyin Tainus Ganav in the first place? Obviously Shem Achinam is Potter when it comes to Gneva. So he explains that it means that how do we know that as soon as he claimed that it was stolen, and it turns out that he was lying, maybe he should have to pay kefil without the shvua, similar to what Rashi explains on Chumash. Marsha explains yet differently and says that it means that maybe he would have to be paying the keren, and then what about the Marshal's questions? And then how would he ever deal with kefil? So Marsha deals said maybe Xeris Hakosov, he claims Nignava, right away we're going to have to make him pay, and then later on if it turns out that he's the Ganev, he would also have to pay Kefil. So maybe indeed as soon as he claims Tainus Nignav, maybe immediately we would tell him tough luck, you still have to pay because you're claiming that it was stolen. And then the Maharam further deals with this whole issue. And then brings from various Rishonim who deal with what exactly is the Braisa's have a minute to think that he should have to pay to begin with when he claims that it was stolen. So we could say again, in other words, that maybe even if he doesn't swear, maybe we would even be mechayev him. We would be mechayev him to pay right away. And therefore the question is, so how do we know that not? How do we know? Well, only mechayev to pay only when there was a shvua involved. So in other words, the question is, again, going back to the Braisa, how do we know when it says v'nikra balabayis elakim, how do we know that it means that he approaches the Beis Din in order to swear about his claim? Maybe it means that he approaches the Beis Din in the sense that we tell him to actually pay up. So the Braisa continues, Nema Shlichus Yad Lamata V'Nema Shlichus Yad Lamaila. In the next section in the Torah, when it talks about the Shomer Sachar, it uses the word Imloy Shalach Yodim Imlachas Re'ehu. And in the earlier part about the Shomer Chinam, which is what we're dealing with now as far as this whole case of Toyin Tainus Ganav, it also uses the word Imloy Shalach Yodim Imlachas Re'ehu. Now, in that case, the Torah clearly spells out that we're in that a Shavuah is involved, because the Torah clearly says, by Hashem HaSachar, when he's claiming that there was an oinus, then he's swearing to that, and then he's potter. So, afkam l'shvuah, the same way over here, we understand that when the Torah mentioned in connection with imloy shalach yodim, imlachas re'ehu, not that he has to pay, but rather that he has to swear. And when is he going to be chayev in what it says over here about yishalom shnayim re'ehu is only going to be if he, only going to be if he swore. A point that Tosfos Reed makes, a logical reason behind it, because a ganav, you don't require a shvuah for him to be chayev kefil. The difference is the ganav to begin with got the thing by iser. Here we're talking about a shomer who it came into his hands to begin with beheter. So therefore we need something more. We need a shvuah to begin with. We need a shvuah in order for the Torah to penalize him and require him to pay the shomer kefil. Another, the Or Sameach makes another point as well. Look, before his shvuah, we're going to say that the Mafkid still hasn't lost out yet. He still has the option. You can either swear, or you're going to pay. He still has the option that he might be paid. Once the guy swears, then there's not going to be any more than there's no payment to talk about anymore, because now he's completely parted himself from payment. And therefore, at that point, he's really caused the other guy a loss. And therefore, we're going to make him pay the kefil at this point. So that's where we learn that that there has to be a shura involved. Okay. So now the Gemara says, "Bishleim alamanda amachad beganav b'chan b'toyin tanis ganav." Well, according to the Braisa that we said that we have of the two psukim, one that says, im yimotze haganav, and the other one says im lo yimotze haganav, and both of them talk about the shlomo kefil. So we said one of them is talking about the ganav himself, and the other is talking toin tainis ganav handgiftiv tere kroy. Well, that's why we understand. Then there are two psukim to teach us the two cases. Elom and omer tavayu, but according to the first brisa that says that both of them are toin tainis ganav tere kroy lomali, then why do we need two psukim? And the answer is, Amri, they answered back, Chadamorti Tainas Ovad. You're right, both of them are talking about the Shomer, but one of them is needed to tell us that the din does not apply where Toin Tainas Ovad. If he claims that it was lost, then we say he doesn't pay the kefil, even though the Edim are giving Eders that he himself took it, or even that he himself shechted it, etc. We're still not paying him, pay kefil. How do we know that? Because we have two psukim that say that by Toin Tainas Ganav, he's paying kefil, implying only Toin Tainas Ganav and not any other kind of case. Well, the question is, on the other hand, then, according to that second braisa, there's nothing extra over here, because one's telling us that a ganav pays double, and the other's telling us that Toin Tainas Ganav pays double. So according to him, where does he know that Toin Tainas Ovad, you're not paying kefil? And the answer is, because it says ganav, it doesn't say ganav, it says had ganav. Im lo yimotze ganav, it could have said, im yimotze ganav, and instead it says im yimotze had ganav. So therefore we're saying that only a certain kind of ganav is chayav kefil, and therefore that would exclude the case of where he's claiming ovad. Tosfos points out that we find sometimes that a hay comes to exclude like that, and it means only the specific one. For example, ha oila means the first oila of the day. Sometimes, in fact, we have a hay sometimes adds things, but the Tosfos is pointing out that sometimes you always go according to the svara, you always go according to the logical thing that's going to be in this area, whether you're being memayat or whether you're being merabe from a hay. So over here, you have a hag ganav means only one specific kind of ganav pays double, namely an actual ganav, or where he's claiming tainas ganav, because he says both psukim are referring to tainas ganav, but not where he's claiming tainas, not where he's claiming tainas olad. Well, olamanda omer tavai with toin tainas ganav, the miyat le toin tainas olad. Now, if we said again, according to the first braisa, that both of them are talking about Toin Tainas Ganav, and we says automatically that excludes Toin Tainas Ovad. Ganav ha ganav my Dorishbe. Well, then what is he doushening from the extra hay of Haganav? And the answer is Omaloch. He'll tell you. Mi boile the chidav chia ba'aba omer Rav Yechanan. He'll need it to teach us what Rav Chia ba'aba says in the name of Rav Yechanan. The omer Rav Chia ba'aba omer Rav Yechanan. Ab Toin Tainas Ganav b'kodin v'shalom tashlom ha'kevel. Tovachomachim v'shalom tashlom ha'abol v'chamisha. That he is fully like a ganav in the sense that if he shechted or stole, he is going to pay. Abar v'chamisha, we wouldn't have otherwise known that. The pasuk says by a shomer that he pays kafel, never says he pays abar v'chamisha. So now this braisa is going to say that the tana of this braisa is going to say, since it says ha ganav, then it means that he's paying tashlama abar v'chamisha as well. Well, then the question is back. Again, if we say that one braisa is telling us that a ganav pays kafel, and the other one tells us toyin tainus ganav pays also pays kafel, dahai ganav haganav afke the mauti tainus avad. And we said that according to him, the hay of haganav is meant to exclude tainus avad. So the Rav Chiya Abba Manolai. So where is he going to get Rav Chiya Abba's din from? So the answer is Omalach, that Tana will answer you Hekeshu. The answer would be that would be a Hekesh. We have a Hekesh between the fact that the Pasuk puts together the Ganav and the Torin Tainas Ganav, because we're talking about in back-to-back Pesukim, and the Ein Meshiv and Alakesha. When you have a Hekesh between two things, you can't just come up with a Hekesh on your own. You have to have a Kabbalah from your Rebbeim, that these two Pesukim are placed together in order to teach us a certain din. So therefore, you can't refute that hekesh. You can't say, yeah, but it's more logical to say that only one should have to pay abav chamisha and the other one should not. Once we have that a ganav, a regular ganav, pays tashlum abav chamisha, as we know from other psukim, then yes, it applies to Tony Tanis ganav as well. So we know, therefore, that the Torin Tainus Ganav is paying not only Kefil, but also Abav Hamisha. So now we'll continue tomorrow, Bez Hashem, and we'll continue discussing this point about the two Braises and about this whole matter of Tashlumah Kefil and Tashlumah Abav Hamisha in the case of Torin Tainus Ganav.
Yeah.